all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, 1510.com. Darren Smith with you live in studio on this glorious Wednesday afternoon. If you're a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, it's a very great day for you this morning. If you're waking up listening to the sound of my voice online, with us, obviously, once again, controlling the boards, Mr. Rudy Salazar. He is the program director for Wichita 92.5 FM and also one of the co-hosts of Almost Entirely Sports. Rudy, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. It's been a pretty chill day all in all, and it's actually been a pretty, I would say, a pretty relaxing week, all things considered, so I'll take it.
All right. Plus, you got to work tomorrow night.
Now I got to show. Tomorrow will actually be like a normal day, which is the first one we've had this week. So, yeah, tomorrow will be like a normal work day.
Shout out to you and Josh and Beards. With us on the phone, we have the host. I don't know if he knows football or basketball more, but we have Mr. Steve Walsh, host of the W, join us for the hour today. Steve, what's going on with you, my friend?
Good, man. It's been a minute. How's everything?
Man, honestly, and I'm going to say this on the radio, bro, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I had one of them days at the gym today, leg day today with my brother, and for the first time, I did the Stairmaster. Man, I did 10 minutes on it, level 2. Had me calling for my mama when I got through. But I got to say, if you want to lose some weight, get on that Stairmaster. It's the first time I've done it. I was just telling somebody before we got on the air that I doubt I'd do it if I'm by myself. I have my brother there because he's doing what he's doing. So I'm like, I got to do whatever he's doing. Man, I can't do it on my own, man. It's not too many things that intimidates me. But this was the first time I was intimidated walking to the Stairmaster and finally doing it. Had me calling for my mama 10 minutes later. But the good thing is, I've gone, because I don't think I've talked to you since then, I've gone from 335 down to 276 today. So I'm happy about that.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. But I will say, I always skip leg day.
You a smart man. Steve, look, man. Obviously, we'll be getting ready for Chiefs training camp getting this weekend. We'll talk Chiefs football and stuff a little bit later. But I got to get your thoughts. First off, Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA world title last night, 4-2 over the Phoenix Sun with a 105-98 victory. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks, only 2 assists, but 5 blocks. Been talking about on a lot of shows today, you know, this closeout performance. I want to get your overall thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks winning this and the road to prosperity that they had to go through to get to it, and then I'll chime in after that.
You know, just thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks, you asked me about the road that it took them to get there. I mean, here's the thing, and I'll say this, and a lot of people don't agree. And it's kind of like one of those things where it was a fist. But if the Brooklyn Nets were healthy, I don't feel like that the Milwaukee Bucks would have gone on to play the Atlanta Hawks.
That's fair.
You know, I don't feel like that the Milwaukee Bucks would have got past the Brooklyn Nets. And that's the healthy Brooklyn Nets. I'm talking with James Harden, Phil Goh, KD, of course, balling. And then Kyrie Irving. I mean, there's no matchup with that. And for them to get past Milwaukee, and then when you look at what Atlanta was able to do, I just feel like it was one of those years, you know, the injury buzz year. And I'm not taking anything away from Milwaukee. However, I just felt like that was that. But then when you think about what Giannis was able to do, you know, in the finals. I thought that CP3 and Devin Booker, they were going to be able to just do what they wanted to do. And that wasn't the case. I think that the Phoenix Suns, it seemed like they ran out of gas. For it to be CP3's first, you know, finals appearance, and realistically, it's like, okay, well, how can he get back? But I'll get to Phoenix in a minute, but Giannis, he showed up, man. He showed up. He promised. He kind of did the LeBron thing and promised Milwaukee a championship and brought him one.
Yeah.
And that 50-point performance last night, it was nothing less than special. You know, he's in good company. I think it was only like three other guys that have ever done that in a finals game. So, man, Giannis is. I would say this. I've heard people saying that he's the best. You know, guy in the, he's the best player in the league, and he's the most dominant guy in the league. I can't say that. I still feel like Kevin Durant is the best player in the world, hands down. But Giannis, I mean, he's definitely top five. I can say that. I can say top five, but he still has some things he needs to work on. But for him to be able to promise a championship, bring it to him, and then not only that, not have another superstar because – Chris Middleton, he's not a superstar. He's a role guy. And he filled his role. However, he did it exceptionally well. And I think he played off of the fact that Giannis was going to get doubles, and he made all of his shots. I mean, he played out of his mind. We haven't really seen Chris Middleton play like that in his career. So for Giannis to be able to come out and Milwaukee Bucks to be able to do it, I commend them. And then since I have another superstar, and he mentioned it in his post-game press conference last night. He's like, hey, I did it and didn't have to go join up with the super team. And we all know that was kind of a slight to LeBron and a slight to KD, you know. But
and Kawhi.
And Kawhi Leonard as well. But for Giannis, he has much respect, at least for me, you know, to be able to do it without having that superstar on his team.
I will say this, and, you know, I mean, there's so much to unpack with what you said. But when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, obviously I got to start with Giannis. I mean, that's first and foremost. But I've got newfound respect for him, Steve, because one of the things that we always like to compliment players, and you know, we talk about how hard they work or how hard, you know, they go after it. One thing you can never say about Giannis, and it's what you say, you know, I think you would agree as it relates to Michael Jordan, as it relates to even Kobe Bryant. I don't think when Giannis plays, he ever cheats you. I mean, he literally goes 100% all out all the time. And it's like, as a fan, if you're paying for a ticket, you know that Giannis is going to show up to play. Now, whether or not Chris Middleton with his inconsistency or Drew Holiday goes from shooting 4-21 game to 12-20 next game to go to 4-19 in the closeout game, you don't know what you're going to get there. But with Giannis, you know you're going to get a double-double type performance from him, and you know he's going to play hard on both ends of the floor. So I've always had respect for him because he always played hard. But in the finals, when it mattered most throughout this playoffs, and I posted on Facebook, is that he's the only player, he's the only superstar that showed up to play every single game. Now, you know, Chris Paul, you know, he had a great closeout game in game six against the Clippers. But, you know, he fell off a couple of games. Devin Booker was supposed to be this, you know, Kobe mentality, you know, mindset. He flamed out a couple of games during the series. And then when you look at other teams, you know, Trae Young being injured but coming back and not playing a good game in game six, and you know, obviously Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I'm saying, so you can go from team to team, but no one, even Kevin Durant, you know, had off games. No one but Giannis throughout this NBA playoffs in its entirety came to play every single game like he did.
I can agree with that. But then the fact that he was able to adjust his game,
yes,
within the playoffs. I mean, when they played Miami, of course it was a breeze. That was a sweep. But then when they went to play Brooklyn, it was like, all right, now is the matchup. And then, like I said, their other two guys of James Harden and Kyrie Irving were injured, and those were freak injuries too. It was like, man, you didn't see those coming.
Well, hold on. And one other thing, though, Steve, when you look at that series, remember there was a game where Milwaukee lost to them in the playoffs by 49 points, and so to still have the mindset to come back and win that series in Game Seven in overtime the way that they did, I mean, that says something about the character of Giannis and that team as well.
Correct. And to that point, you mentioned that loss. You got to think about how Giannis was playing, and he was standing out around the 3-point line. He wasn't. He was trying to create his own shot and then shooting three pointers. He did that in against the Brooklyn Nets and then also against the Atlanta Hawks. He was standing out around the perimeter, and it was like, Giannis, what are you doing? You're the biggest guy on the floor. Yep. You're pretty much unstoppable. Why are you shooting three-pointers? And that was kind of the head-scratcher for me. But then it seemed like it just clicked. And once Giannis started, and we all know Giannis' game, he's going to it's kind of like a fullback hitting the hole.
Yeah.
he'll take two steps back, dribble, three hard dribbles, and then he's at the rim. And so there's really no stopping that. But they had an answer. I'm speaking about Atlanta and also Brooklyn to stop Giannis if he were to sit out there and keep shooting threes. But he quickly figured it out. It's like someone gave him that phone call, like, "Hey man, hey, you need to go down to the paint. That's where you eat." And he figured it out. And Chris Middleton, he took it from there. So I feel like they're going to be contenders next year and years to come in the East. At least, and I think they'll probably pick up another guy in this offseason. Who knows? But Drew Holiday, he really didn't do much. I mean, he contributed a little bit. But then the fact, a lot of people kind of are not talking a lot about P.J. Tucker. They forget about the job that P.J. Tucker did against Brooklyn when he was guarding Durant.
Yep.
He basically shut Kevin Durant down. Now, of course, that's you really can't shut Kevin Durant down, but for the most part, he did just enough to kind of, you know, he's that gnat, that nagging little gnat that's just there. But Milwaukee, they're going to definitely be contenders.
You know, the one thing, and look, when you look at the Bucks, again, the biggest problem that I had with Milwaukee throughout the playoffs, and I know you talked about Giannis shooting, but it was a team as a whole. Like, you had all that size, and it wasn't until Game 5 where they finally used their height to their advantage. But again, I mean, it was way late where they should have been able to sweep Phoenix if you stop thinking about it. Like, Game 1, Giannis returning from an hyperextended knee still gives you 22-17. Aiden in that game was 19-17. But what kills me was that obviously once their backup center went down, you know, once their backup center went down for Phoenix, it was like, it is just DeAndre Ayton. You've got Portis. You got Giannis. You got Lopez. All you got to do is throw those bodies out there on Ayton, get him into foul trouble, and now they have no height. You can go in, you know, in the paint all game long. And for whatever reason, they were still shooting. Like last night, they were 6-27 from the 3-point line. Like, why are you shooting threes? Get all your points inside. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it was, to me, it was a coaching thing. Like, dude, Bode, what are you doing? And so, you know, it was frustrating watching. You know, look, my guy Lance, and I have to agree with him, says that Coach Budenholzer is probably the worst coach to win an NBA world title because he didn't really do any adjusting. I mean, it was more so just like, we get the ball to Giannis and whatever happens, happens. You know, Chris Middleton, again, my problem with him throughout the playoffs is that he was just too inconsistent. He'll have a 30-point game in game one, and then he'll go 14-11, and then hit you for another, 40 in game four, then 27, and then come back and gives you 17, but on 6-13 shooting. You know, and like, you know, look, I already said Holiday hits you with a 4-20 game, then a 12-20, and a 4-19, so you don't know what you're going to get. Yes, he almost had a triple-double. It was a Jason Kidd-like with 12, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. But, you know, I mean, they were role players, to say the least. But I do want to kind of look at the Phoenix Suns side of things and ask you, how bad of a loss is this? One, this is the fourth time in Chris Paul's career where he's had a 2-0 lead only to lose four straight games. First time in the NBA Finals, 36 years old. He played like it at times. They should have been up 3-1, possibly closing out in Game 5, but they couldn't do it with the turnovers that they had in Game 4 and then, of course, in Game 5 with Devin Booker. How do Phoenix bounce back, or are they able to bounce back, and how does this look as it relates to Chris Paul and his legacy?
Yeah, you know, I felt like Chris Paul, we didn't see Game 1 we kind of did, Game 2, but we really didn't see the Chris Paul that we saw against the Clippers.
Yeah.
We just didn't. And I felt like he deferred a lot in the end of the game yesterday, in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. I felt like he should have – Chris Paul, I mean, you got to understand. It's like, man, you are – to me, he's the best player on the Phoenix Suns. I mean, I know Devin Booker can go get his, but he's the best player. So you've got to go and create a shot for yourself. And he deferred a lot to Devin Booker. And I don't know if he ran out of gas. I have no idea. But he's got to understand. It's like, man, it took you 16 years to get to this point. And you get here and you defer. And it's a closeout. Like, this isn't, you guys aren't up. You know?
Right.
This is a closeout game. If the roles were reversed, I could see you deferring. It's like, all right, we can come back Thursday and play game seven. But no, this is a closeout game, you know, for Milwaukee. So you're risking going, not only just going home, but losing the finals. So I feel like Chris Paul should have had more of an assertiveness. And he just didn't have it. And then furthermore, Devin Booker, I mean, he had 19 points yesterday, 8 of 22. I just felt like he should have done a little bit more. And Chris Paul deferred to him, and he passes off to Jay Crowder. And I'm like, what is really going on? You pass to Jay Crowder? And then these guys had a lot of turnovers going into the past couple of games. You saw Devin Booker have a crucial turnover in game four. Chris Paul had a crucial turnover in game three.
Both in the final minutes.
Both in the final minute. And I'm like, okay, what's going on, guys? You guys are point guards. You got to be better than that. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton, he has to play better as well. But I don't feel like Chris Paul is going to be there next year. There's been rumor that he may, you know, Lakers may try to figure out some kind of way to get him on to L.A., but if he's back in Phoenix, you got to look at the West. You got
Denver.
Golden State. They're going to come back. They're going to come back tough. I mean, Clay's going to be there. You still got, of course, Steph. And then L.A., they'll be healthy next year.
Both teams.
and then you still got if
Jamal Murray, Portland, you got Denver.
Back,
yeah, Portland.
You got Denver. You got Portland.
Utah.
I mean, the West is tough. So Chris Paul, it's about time for Chris Paul to start thinking about, you know, ring chasing a little bit. I mean, that's if that's his priority, you know, which right now I feel like it is. And I still say this, if they would have won, Chris Paul would have hung him up. I do believe that. But you ain't leaving
$44 million out there on the table. No. You would opt in next year and get paid that $45 million. You ain't leaving that on the table.
I don't know. Chris Paul's made a lot of money, man.
Oh yeah, that is true, Steve. But $45 million is still $45 million. I mean, you know, look, there's talk of course Aaron Rodgers, sitting out, but $30 million is still $30 million now. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's going to go back to Phoenix. Because you gotta look at it. Unless Phoenix is able to add another key piece, which they need a big man, they really do. Just looking at the big guys that they have, man, I just don't see him going back there. It'd be very surprising. Now, if they can add another piece, maybe. But for them to get to the finals, it's not going to be another year like this. This was the opportunity that he had.
That's true.
You know, this is it. And I feel like he understands that, so he's going to have to go and start ring chasing. He has to if he wants to get one.
And I got to say, man, DeAndre Ayton in last night's game played, and they've been talking about all day. He played so timid. Like, how are you 7 foot 1 and you intimidate? Like, Chris, and I'll never forget when Chris Paul dished him the ball underneath the basket and he shot a fadeaway jump. Come on, man.
Yeah, I saw that.
I knew that,
and I was wondering.
I knew then it was going to be a long night for Phoenix. I mean, and you know, he was juggling rebounds and stuff. Like, dude, what are you doing? And it's frustrating because it's like, again, you're sitting thinking it's game six. Do you not understand the magnitude of the game that you all are playing in? And this is how you all are coming out. And so I don't know how much of that falls on the head coach, Monty Williams, you know, cause, I'm not sure what type of adjustments he claimed he was going to be making throughout the week. I know them guarding, you know, keeping. Now, look, I understand why you kept DeAndre Ayton, single coverage basically on Giannis, because against Ayton, he was shooting 44%. Against everybody else, he was shooting, you know, like almost 80%. But again, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm throwing different bodies at DeAndre Ayton to get him in foul trouble, so you ain't got to worry about that. So then once he goes to the bench, then, you know, Giannis got all day to eat. looking at this, obviously, you know, we look at next year. Vegas has the Nets as the favorite. Now, this, of course, everybody being healthy. Got the Nets. You also got the Lakers, number two. The Bucks, number three. How do you see this, you know, going into next season?
I mean, Brooklyn is the best team in the NBA. You know, if everybody's healthy, there's no argument there. Of course, I mean, you can't go away from LA either, that being number two. And I feel like this year it would have been LA, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I still thought that Brooklyn would have won it all, but it would have been interesting, you know, to go against Anthony Davis. And it just depends on who adds what in the offseason. I mean, I want to see what Portland does. I do. Damian Lillard, I think he'll probably end up staying. That was the reason that Portland got Chauncey Billups to be their head coach. You know, I think that he's going to be able to keep Damian Lillard up there. But it's going to be interesting. Hopefully that Brooklyn is able to stay healthy. Remember, they didn't play a lot of games with each other last season.
True.
It was like six games total.
I think ten total.
All three guys were healthy. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they're able to do. And what is Giannis going to have some kind of surgery on that knee this offseason? Because you guys remember, it was hyperextended. So he really came back, and it was really – I'm like, wow, how is he coming back from that kind of an extensive injury that he had? So the Bucks to be number ranked three, I think that's fair. But what would they be able to add in the offseason? You know, there's going to be some moves that will be made. But I still feel like Atlanta is still strong in the East. And, of course, looking at the West, you still have, like I said, Golden State, Utah, Denver. All those teams are very strong. So I think that Phoenix is going to be kind of lower down in the totem pole. Like I said before, this was their year. But Brooklyn next year, I'm 100% with that. They should be number one favorite.
Steve Wallace, host of the W. You can hear his show every Saturday at 11 a.m. on 100.1 FM. Join us on Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN in Kansas City. Steve, look, with this win, Giannis becomes one of three players to win multiple MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, and NBA Championship, as well as the NBA Finals, joining the likes of Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. I know we're both in this sports team group, but I'm curious because one of the guys had posted a deal and said that, you know, want to know where Giannis ranks now as it relates to, you know, power forwards in the history of the NFL. I mean, NBA. Just wondering where you think he is now that he's got a title, you know, to kind of, you know, be in that conversation with the Barkleys, Malones, Kevin McHale, Dirk Nowitzki, as well as Kevin Garnett. Where do you think he fits in that now?
Man.
I know I hit you with the hard stuff.
No, he's top 10. You know, I think he's top 10. I wouldn't put him as top five. You know, he's somewhere between 5 and 10, 7 maybe. But you got to remember, those guys, Tim Duncan is still the best power forward of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, then you throw in KG. I mean, no one was messing with KG at that time. Then you throw, I mean, remember Dennis Rodman was, and I'm not saying Dennis Rodman is a scorer like Giannis, but defensively Dennis Rodman was good.
Yeah.
And Karl Malone, I would say top 10. I would say top 10 because remember Larry Bird was listed as a power forward.
Are you sure he was a power forward? Because I think he was listed as a small forward because Kevin McHale was a power forward.
He was listed as a small forward. But you can think about it now, it's kind of like you got the stretch four, stretch five. But, you know, so I just
– Is it fair to have that conversation, though, with Giannis? Because I know people are like, well, he's only won one, you know, he just won an NBA title 10 minutes ago. But I'm like, you know, aren't you all, like, already calling Patrick Mahomes the GOAT quarterbacks? I mean, he's only played 3-4 years, and you all already crowning him.
Yeah,
so.
That's a stretch. But I think he's top 10. I don't. A lot of people are rushing to say that. Oh, he's putting him into the top 10 of all time.
No.
I ain't doing that. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. You can't sit up here and say, I know his accolades, numbers don't lie. We all know that. However, he's not as dominant as Shaq. And I know Shaq's giving him his flowers. Shaq was like, he's the next Superman. He's passing the torch of the Superman to Giannis and all that. But I just don't see it, man. And an outside jumper isn't everything. However, to be a killer, I've always said you got to have a jumper. I've said that. And so he just doesn't have that. And if you can take away, like I said, if Phoenix was able to take away Giannis, it would have been a different ballgame. But they weren't able to consistently double him and make someone else beat them. That's what they didn't do. If you let Chris Middleton go off for 50, then you deserve to lose. But if you let Giannis go off for 50 and letting him have 30 here and dominate you here, you deserve to lose that game. You know? But I just don't think Giannis is top 10 of power forwards and even top 20 of all time. You know, maybe. But, you know, his numbers are satisfactory. However, I just don't put him up there as one of the GOATs.
I will say this. You know, I'm of the adage, and this is what I say about Patrick, let the man's career play itself out. Then we have the conversation. Or let him play for a number of years. Like, Brady's still playing, and we know where Brady is. You know, LeBron is still playing. We know where he's at. But, for me, give these cats time to, you know, see where his career can go. Because right now, I mean, I can compare Patrick Mahomes to Russell Wilson, to be quite honest, because Russell Wilson has been to two straight Super Bowls. He's won one and he lost one. Patrick's done the same thing.
Now, don't get me wrong, though. If Giannis is able to, let's just say Brooklyn is all healthy, they're healthy next year, and it comes down to the Eastern Conference Finals, it comes down to Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and Giannis goes on to beat Brooklyn to go to the NBA Finals, I would then start looking. I'm like, okay, now we can start because you got with this same. Don't get me wrong. With this same squad, if they keep the same squad, of course you can change up a little bit of the role players or whatever. But if their starting five is still there and Giannis is able to continue to do what he does, then you can start having that conversation. But like you said, right now it's still too early.
Yeah, but see, but here's the one thing to that point, though, Steve. You know, the storyline next year is going to be injuries, you know what I'm saying? So everybody's going to try to put now. They're not doing it right now. But when the playoffs start next year, they're going to be like, well, such and such wasn't healthy last year or whatever. You know, they're going to try to diminish Milwaukee's title next year, you know, this year for next year when it comes playoff time. Well, again, and so I'm with you because if Giannis and them can run the gauntlet and, you know, repeat next year, then I think it's fair to have the conversation. Look, I'm not saying put him above – you know, players that have multiple rings and stuff like that, I think Tim Duncan has a couple of MVPs and he's obviously got five titles and some finals MVPs. But you look at Kevin McHale, he's got three titles. Obviously, Barkley's got the MVP, but he's never been known for his defense. Giannis, at least to his credit, you know, plays both sides of the ball and he plays hard. I just think, you know, and I look at the fact that, again, he doesn't cheat you. He is someone that I think that if he can have great success, and again, maybe next year, like you said, if he can run it back and beat a healthy Brooklyn. Now, if he beats a healthy Brooklyn, that's going to say a lot about Brooklyn more so than it does, you know, than it does the Milwaukee, because people are going to start questioning the greatness of Kevin Durant and Harden. And Kyrie Irving at that time, if that happens. So I saw that to say that if he runs it back, I think he can start having that, you know, that legit conversation. But again, I tell people all the time, I mean, if you can have this conversation with him now because he's got that title. I mean, if people want to start crowning Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT after 3 or 4 years, and I think it's fair to have that conversation with someone like Giannis. But I do want to get your thoughts on Team USA, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. We'll come back, get your thoughts on some things happening in the NFL. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Terrence with you live in studio. Sterling Holmes is on vacation at a family reunion. I know, man, I won't hear enough about it when he gets back, since he picked Milwaukee at the beginning of the season to win the NBA title, even though he didn't believe in his pick. But we're still joined by Mr. Steve Walsh, host of the W. And Steve, NFL training camp is closing fast upon us. I know Patrick Mahomes and the quarterbacks and the rookies attend Friday. I know we'll be on the Zoom call then. What are you expecting out of this Chiefs team this upcoming season, starting with training camp?
And this training camp is going to be interesting. and I say that because, you know, they're coming off of a Super Bowl loss. You know, last year it was all, you know, peaches and cream with the year before, you're talking about 2019, when they came, you know, coming back, and there was no training camp, you know, because of COVID. And so that it was kind of like an extended Super Bowl tie, you know, so to speak, because you didn't have a training camp. You just started playing games, really. So you just didn't have that downtime. But now they've had a time to really, really think, you know, about the loss. And I want to see how they bounce back from it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, you've had a little bit of a distraction with Frank Clark this past off season. so I'm wondering what their mindset is going into St. Joe. Of course, you're going to have the fans there. I mean, training camp will look a little differently, but it's still going to be the same old. And I'm not sure on, like, you know, behind the curtain, how it'll look as far as like in the dorms, and are they going to be able to do things together, how all that's going to work. But their mindset, I'm wondering what it's going to be like. Of course, you know, Andy Reid's going to have them, you know, going to have them locked in, but it's, you know, coming off of this loss, what are they going to be, you know, thinking as far as, are they going to have that same hunger? Well, we've won one, we've lost one. Let's try to get back. Let's try to, because last year, you can remember, it was a running back tour.
Yeah.
So what's going to be the motto this year? And then you have guys like I talked about, Frank Clark, but then even Tyrann Mathieu. He's looking for, he's not going to say it. I mean, you get a few of his tweets every now and again, kind of insinuating something. And I thought, you know, just by talking to some people that were very close to Tyron, that the deal was almost done earlier this offseason. But I'm guessing, if I had to put my last dollar on it, I would say that the deal will get done before training camp is over.
Okay.
I think a deal will get done before training camp is over. Tyron's not the guy type of guy that's going to hold out. He's just not. It's not in his MO. He's one of the guys that he understands. He's the leader of this defense, and the second leader, only behind Patrick, of the team. So I don't feel like that's going to be a big concern. But the concern is still there. Okay, what Brett Beach? What are you doing? I know you guys got Chris Jones deal done right before training camp started last year. I believe it was right before training camp started last year, if my memory serves me correctly. But
His contract was done maybe a week after Patrick signed his extension, and that was, I think, back in May or June.
Was it May or June? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, so I knew it was early. Sometime before training camp.
Yeah.
It was done. And so those little things, it's kind of lingering. And then not only that, but you think about, there's a whole new offensive line. How are all those different puzzle pieces going to work, you know, work together? So
who's going to be the starting five?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, to say the least. It's going to be fun to watch. Just watch these guys compete, and then see who is one of those no-name guys that are like, oh, he quickly, you know, rises up and being on the roster. Because remember, the only issue I see this season, really, is going to be cornerback. You remember, there's no Rashard Breeland, and Tre'Davious Ward. He was kind of up and down last season. He wasn't the same Tre'Davious that we saw in 2019. see. I think he regressed just a little bit, but I think
he did have a broken hand, though. I mean, let's
a little bit. Yeah, but still, he wasn't the same. And I think that the whole mentality thing kind of got to him as well. I think cornerback is going to be is definitely my biggest concern: is who's going to step up, who's going to be that next guy to make something happen.
I will say this, as it relates to some of the points that you made, I am really looking forward to see, like you said, how they bounce back. I want to know, are you going to have the 2018, we lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots at home, and we it's Super Bowl or bust, or are you going to, we're going to run it back, try to get back? Or how do you, how does this differentiate from 2018 and 2020? That's what I want to see, happen, or try to get an idea on, how you approach training camp, how you approach these games. I know Travis has talked about, I think Josh mentioned on the show, on Sunday Sound Off, that he talked to Travis last week and said, sure, yeah, they love to go 20-0. I'm like, well, I had y'all go 19-0. Y'all were scared of that. So I'm like, which one is it? Now y'all want to go 20-0? But I said it to say that I'm interested to see, how they address that, how the 17-game season is going to come into play, and Andy with the playing time and stuff like that. But, to your point, the whole offensive line, I'm definitely interested to see, how that's going to shake itself out. Who is going to be the initial starting lineup, that you put out there? Are you going to put the veterans out there? Are you going to put, Trey Smith, Lucas Niang, Creed Humphreys out there, with Thuney and Orlando Brown? I'm just, I want to see how all that stuff starts and begins to mesh. Obviously, the LF fans out there, won't be any type of contact or anything like that that's going to be taking place. So we'll see. I think it's going to be good for the players just to have that type of energy that they can draw from from them out there. Now, the whole Frank Clark thing, we don't know, because obviously I think one of his court dates is in October. We don't know how we don't know what the other charge is going to be from having the Uzi in June, what that charge is going to look like. But I will say this, as it relates to Tyrann Mathews, I don't see him holding out because, one, you're still under contract, so exactly, why would you be holding out? Yes, you want an extension, but you could also be like Chris Jones. Chris Jones wanted an extension on his rookie deal, but they made him play his deal out, and then they signed him up, they signed him because he was a second-round draft pick. He had a four-year deal. He was a free agent. They signed him up, in the offseason. I could see a scenario where Kansas City does not sign Tyrann to a contract extension before the season started. I mean, they may just be in a scenario where they may want to have him play it out. Because, look, sooner or later, as Tyrann liked to say, rent is going to come due. They're going to have to, because you can only push, Patrick's and everybody's, roster bonuses and convert their signing bonus and stuff to roster bonus to pay them in the offseason. They're still going to have to, that stuff's still going to have to come due sooner or later. And then, of course, you look at the salary cap increasing next year. I don't think it's going to be by much, but it's going to be enough. At the end of the day, how do you see this team shaping up? I know Vegas has them winning at least 12 games. I guess they got them going 12-5. I got them going at least 14-3, if not 15-2. How do you see Kansas City, if you were to do something preliminary in making picks, how do you think they look going into the 2021 season? I'd be hating you with the hard questions.
Yeah, I hate giving a prediction before I see, even last year, before I see the training camp, how I see the guys and what they look like and all that. Because like I said, this offensive line is going to be it's going to be crucial, man. You don't want to just run out there with a bunch of young guys and hope they are able to block for your $500 million quarterback. Your prize investment, so to speak. But I think they'll I'll say this. I think they'll be solid. I think, of course, Chiefs fans should have to worry. They're going to make the playoffs. Like normal, I think they'll be the AFC West is going to be tough. I can't say that, but I feel like they'll win the AFC West again. We got to watch Buffalo. At some point, you got to remember, at some point, these other teams are going to catch up with you.
Yeah, and Kansas City's gonna have to lose.
they're gonna catch up with you, but it's just how they fight back from it, you know.
Well, Steve,
how they bounce back.
Steve, hold that thought. We're coming up on a break. We'll finish this up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Still joined by Steve Walls, host of the W. Steve, before we go further, let people know how they can reach out to you and listen to the show.
You can hear the show every Saturday morning, 100.1 FM, at the W Show KC on all social media platforms. That's 11 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. They can reach out to me if need be at Steve Walls KC on all social media platforms as well.
Now, Steve, when we first got together, we were doing the Sideline Sports Talk when we were covering high school football and basketball games. I'm curious your thoughts on this new name, image, and likeness effects that's going on now in college sports in general. I know Nick Saban was talking about it on the SEC conference call yesterday, or Zoom call yesterday, where he talked about his quarterback, who he hasn't even named a starter, potentially getting close to seven figures as for endorsements. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good deal. You know, it's been due. You know, these guys definitely generate a lot of revenue.
Yeah.
They line a lot of people's pockets, and none of it, they don't see any of it. And so I think it's beyond time for that to happen. Now, the only caveat to that is I hope that each institution, or each, let's just say, Alabama football, I hope that if these guys are generating that kind of money, that they get them with some kind of financial advisor or somebody that's able to advise them on what they need to do or what they should be doing with their money. So that way, because you're going to have a lot of 19, 20-year-olds that are going to get some pretty significant increases in income.
Yeah, taxes.
So I hope that they give them some kind of they generate some kind of wealth management. That way they understand, all right, this is how you manage your money. And then, not only that, I hope that it's not a distraction to their end goal. I mean, they have to remember that they are there to play sports. But if you have a guy, and I saw this on, I think it was like Yahoo Sports or something, where a booster from the University of Miami posted to, he owns a gym or a couple of gyms down in Miami, South Florida. And he's like, all right, well, I'll pay. I got $500,000 for the University of Miami's football program. Each student, athlete, I want them to all get $500 a month. And all I want them to do is work out at my gym. All right, I would have loved to have $500 a month guaranteed to be coming in while I was in college. Like, for a college student, that's a lot of money.
Trust me, I know. It's a lot of money still.
to be guaranteed coming in, I know there's some college kids that get a lot more money than that. But just for the average Joe Schmo, man, $500 to be guaranteed coming in, you don't really have to work for it. You just got to go work out. Man, that's a lot of money. And so you're going to get guys like that that's going to be getting, you know, triple that a week or a month or whatever. So I just hope that they're able to be financially smart, and that way they're able to manage their money, and it doesn't take away from the game.
Definitely loving that. Now, Steve, we've got the Olympics that's coming up in a couple of days. There is a possibility that it could be canceled. I don't think it will be, but stranger things have happened over the last year and a half. But what are you most looking forward to, you know, over the next few weeks with these activities, if they're able to be held?
I'm definitely looking forward to track and field. I also want to see the basketball. I love watching, you know, even though they didn't look good out in Vegas, you know, with some of their early games. You know, and I get it. They're just scrimmages, but I want the U.S. men's national team to be able to do something. I understand that them walking out on the floor or getting off the bus doesn't scare opponents anymore like it used to with the Dream Team and then the team from 2016 with LeBron and all those guys. But I hope that they're able to get some wins under their belt, you know, because it's not a good feeling losing, and you're supposed to be the dominant. Like, basketball in America is supposed to be like the dominant sport, right? like soccer is in other countries there in Europe. They have a dominant sport, and we understand that. Well, other countries understand that the NBA, basketball is like the dominant sport in America. And, I just feel like these guys, sometimes they take it for granted. You can just see how they go out there, and it's kind of that lackadaisical playoff. We win, we win. We don't, whatever. But I know Coach K isn't there to work with these guys now, but I feel like, Greg Popovich has to kick it in gear and let them know, like, hey, we're not losing. That's just not what we're going to do.
He's lost a lot of games as a head coach, though.
Exactly. Coach K didn't play that. Like, he looks cool, but he means what he says. And I've heard some stories about Coach Pop, but I don't see it right now. It's not translating to these guys. So I'm just, I'm wondering how it's all going to play out. And maybe they're just like, oh, well, these are exhibition games. But at the end of the day, you don't want to give these other teams confidence. Like, oh, we beat y'all in exhibition play, so we know we can do it again with the same folks. So, and you asked me, I know, do I think that the Olympics will be played? It's very questionable. I'm like 50-50, really. When they said that they weren't going to allow families to go, then that kind of raised my eyebrows. Like, all right, well, you're not going to allow families to go.
No fans in the stands either.
Yeah, at the track field. It's kind of concerning because I think was it Bradley Beal? He was. I don't know if he's tested positive, but something happened about with COVID with that, and so he's not with the team anymore. And then wasn't it one of the young ladies on the women's national soccer team? I think she tested positive for COVID-19. So. It's getting a little sticky. It is. I just want to know how far are they going to let it, transpire before they just call it off. And I know they'll wait to the last minute, but, how much more needs to happen before they're like, all right, this is getting a little bit too serious. We've got a lot of people that are traveling across the country. We don't want this thing to start spreading like a wildfire.
Man, I got to say, man, I was excited about this stuff until I started seeing the times because Tokyo is 13 hours ahead and, as much as I love Simone Biles, I'm not waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch her perform, bro. I mean, like.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Steve. I mean, but, it's kind of like, I got to place my bets the night before because I'm going to be asleep. Now, what's interesting is that, okay, let's say for the sake of argument, I do decide. It means I got to get up at 3:45 or something, try to get myself mentally ready. And at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have to work out. I'm going to have to do some kind of workout or something to try to, try to keep myself awake, because 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Simone Biles and then six something. And then now the NBA, now the basketball games, I think those games are going to be on at night. So, hopefully that works out. But, we got a couple of minutes left, man. So I want to give it to you and let you, let you give your final thoughts on that.
Yeah, I love watching the Olympics, man, from track and field. No matter what time, I mark it on my calendar. Like, all right, if I know a game's going to come on at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to set my alarm clock and I just get up.
I'm holding you to that, Steve. When I call your phone, I expect you.
I'm up. Nope, nobody else is up in my household, so I know I can just sit back. I don't want to say I'm cracking open a cold one at 3 in the morning, but if that's what it takes, I just may do that. But, it's fun, man, just being able to watch the games, especially when there's nobody else up, still dark outside, and just being able to see sports. Any sports is good, especially we went almost a whole year without being able to watch.
All right, well, that's Steve Walls, host of the W. Remember, you can check him out on Saturday mornings from 11 a.m. to 12 noon on 100.1 FM and all your social media platforms. And also hit him up at Twitter, at Steve Walls KC. Steve, stay by your phone. I'll give you a call when we get off the air. Thank you all very much. Tomorrow we'll be joined by NFL Network's Jeff Chedia on the show. We'll get his thoughts on training camp and see what his traveling schedule is going to look like. So, until next time, congratulations once again to the Milwaukee Bucks. You can listen to Sport in Kansas City tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, of course, Rudy will be on Almost Entirely Sports at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7:30, I believe. And until then, until tomorrow, this is Darren Smith for Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 5:10 a.m. Have a great day.